Good day, Internet.
Oh, good day, Internet.
Hello, Internet.
David wasn't sure. David Spark is going to be on the show today, and he's here as well. We did not brief you on the proper protocol.
No, no, but we appreciate you jumping right in.
Proper protocol?
No, no. No, I just noticed there was a moment of hesitation on your part. You're like, wait a minute, what do I do?
Hello, Internet.
So what we do, David, is we stream to our Discord. So any of the patrons who've hooked up their accounts to Discord can then go into one of the Discord voice channels and listen as we prep and record. And then we also record this for posting for on demand for Good Day Internet to be listened to.
We talk smack about the people who don't pay, right?
Correct. Yes, mostly.
So are we recording now?
We are recording.
We just started.
We go through name by name, everyone whose card was declined. Bob and Chris and Pat and Mark. And if your name is Bob, Chris, Pat, or Mark, I was not talking about you. I was talking about the other Bob, Chris, Pat, and Mark.
Like them.
Say good day real quick.
I mean, of what? Bob, Chris, Pat, and Mark, two out of four are ambiguous names.
Yes.
So it could be two women and two men.
Mark could be a girl's name.
Yeah.
Well, Mark could be a girl's name, and so could Bob, but they're not very commonly.
I mean, Bob.
There was a Bob I worked with.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Correctly. Her name was Bob. Paid for this?
Really? A woman named Bob. I love it.
What do you mean, people? There's a tone in there.
I'm getting the sense that there's the information that's being shared at this moment doesn't seem that it has a monetary value to it.
David,
no,
people believe it does. Please don't disabuse them of that notion. Do not open their eyes.
No, she was great. She's a lawyer. She's a lawyer now.
This is the behind the scenes. This is the backstage.
This is like what do bands do? They have the not
behind the music.
Backstage, that's it. Backstage.
Backstage or that.
Are you not hearing me, Roger?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought Roger seemed a little. He was having his own conversation.
That's okay.
You can hear us now, though.
I can hear you now.
We actually started. Okay. We went ahead and started live, probably at the same time we always do. But because David was telling us about what's going on with CISO, which is really interesting what you're doing there, because as you mentioned, you're a niche within a niche.
We're a niche so security is a niche itself, right? And then within that niche, there's this whole dynamic that's happening between the sellers and the buyers of security products, and the needs of the sellers of security products definitely do not match the buyers of the security products in the sense. And everyone I talk to, all the salespeople I talk to in security, they all say the same thing, that the sales cycle for security products is way longer than any other tech sale. So it's, and not only that, the competition has increased. Just to give you an idea how bad it is. There's, and again, these are just estimates because these numbers change all the time, but there's believed to be well over 3,000 security companies. Hmm. And the addressable audience of just CISOs, which is the target they're pretty much all hitting in the United States, people with the title Chief Information Security Officer, that's also 3,000. So as you can imagine, 3,000 companies hitting 3,000 people, pretty lopsided.
Yeah. Each company can have one CISO as a client, and then
there you go. That's
perfectly equitable.
Again, that's U.S.-based CISOs. There's CISOs.
Yeah. Well, it is a little bit of a microcosm of so many other industries, but I think what makes it different is that security professionals tend to be even more skeptical of marketing claims than others.
Yes.
And security companies have to go even farther in their claims to capture attention than I think sometimes.
Yeah, it's a lot. The competition is like, I've been doing this now for 9 years and specifically in this space. And I've just seen the competition just ratcheting up in a much more intense way than I've ever seen before.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about a couple of really interesting examples of that David's been writing about on the main show here today. But so you've got the site, you've got the podcast. Do you have more than one podcast now, or just the one?
So I had two. I don't know what's happened to the first one. I haven't been able to get a hold of my co-host.
Oh, no.
I technically only have one right now, but there is a...
That tends to put a damper on schedules.
Don't let that stop you. Just turn it into a one-man show.
Yeah, it's podcasting. You know, it's different.
I know.
Ask yourself questions, answer them. There's a lot of successful one mic podcasts out there. You can do it.
Yes, I know. I don't want to though.
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't like all the pressure being on me to do all the heavy lifting. I do enough heavy lifting for the one podcast that's currently running. And you know, by the way, you know about heavy lifting on shows.
We do. We've thrown out our backs at this show a couple of times. I was having a conversation with a really good friend of mine once, and I was talking about an idea, and I was like, but I really just need to find a person I can hire to do that. In my head thinking, well, that's not this is a positive thing. And this person that I was talking to said, you know, oh, so you want someone else to do it for you. You know, good ideas don't get done unless you just do them. You can't wait around for somebody else to do them. And I'm like, I have plenty to do. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm trying to be a good delegator and not do everything myself.
Here we go.
The CISO. By the way,
did you put any brand new stories in here? I'm just looking through. I've read everything through.
I'm not sure when the last time you looked at it was, but probably not.
This all looks the same. Yeah. Did any of you guys actually watch the BlizzCon stuff?
No, I was at Patricon, as was Sarah this weekend, so I didn't really get a chance to see any of it.
That for Patreon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know they had their own conference.
Well, they do, and it's called Patricon. It was really fun.
It's only the third time they've done it, and it's just now feeling like an actual convention. I went to the first one, and it really was just a meeting of a bunch of creators. The second one got a little bit more like it, and this one was, full on two tracks of panels and all the trimmings.
By the way, I'm going to put something in. I am actually heading down to your neck of the woods tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just plug this this workshop that I'm doing for
absolutely.
For a Zoho event. I'm going to be in San Diego. It's the event on San Diego on Wednesday and Los Angeles on Thursday.
Oh, okay. Where's the event in LA?
Good question. Let me find out. I think it's in downtown LA, but I'll tell you in just.
Yeah, that's probably right. That's where Patricon was too.
DTLA. So the San Diego. Here, I'll tell you where LA is.
San Diego.
San Diego.
It's the Boomtown Brewery on 700 Jackson Street in LA. Where is that?
Here, let me look. I don't know. I don't know where Jackson Street is.
Sounds downtowny, but yeah, I don't know either.
I know where Jackson Street in San Francisco is.
Yeah,
that's a whole different one. That
as well.
Well, let's look. Boomtown Brewery.
Oh, here we go. Near Chinatown. Yeah, it's downtown.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, that's actually super close to me. What fun. Now I know of a new brewery.
Humor in sales. And I'm doing a workshop called Business Networking Pickup Lines. It's actually a really fun workshop. I teach the art of business flirting.
Oh, interesting. Business flirting. Yeah.
Lovely P&L you've got there.
It's sort of like a friend of mine had a business for a while. I think she sold it, called Founder Dating. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about founders dating each other. It was about people becoming founders together, but you kind of have to date a little bit to make sure that you're right for each other.
So it's interesting you mentioned that, because the number one reason I hear that startups fall apart is because of the founders clash.
Of course. Yeah. It's right. Yeah.
It's any kind of relationship.
Business, yeah. We're just too different. This won't work.
That's a lot of businesses where you have,
you have
conflict all throughout.
Hey, Roger, can you put anything in the thing of the day to let us know what it is?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Chris has a
thought. I can do that as well, because I saw the email, unless you got it, Raj.
Yeah, I got it. It's basically a follow-up to last week's.
Nice.
Follow-up to use it.
Okay.
Credit cards.
There you go. I put a link to the event that I'm doing. It's just something that says, if you put up a screenshot, you'll see it says laugh louder, connect faster, sell better. Something.
How to make your margins look attractive.
Margarines attractive.
Margarines. Laugh louder, connect faster, sell better. Half-day conference for sales leaders, managers, reps, and those just curious about using humor in sales. That looks awesome.
It'll be a fun event. Hey. To get it in Dallas, and it's a half-day event. There's two other people that are speaking as well, but it's a half-day event, and then they said if this goes well, we'll be doing like eight more in 2019. So that'll be great.
Your bio doesn't mention the fact that you had a Mandy Moore poster in your cube at ZDTV.
Please add that.
That's the point.
I completely forgot until you had mentioned it.
What was the context? Was it like during her pop career? Had she already gone into movies?
Years ago when we were at ZDTV.
I actually didn't know what she looked like until I saw the poster in David's cube. I was like, oh, that's Mandy Moore.
I'll tell you something else is funny. So Susan Shaw, who's now Susan DeMartini, mm-hmm. had got one of those, I forget what those P-Touch label makers.
Yeah.
And she got one of them and she was, you know, printing out labels of stupid things and then sticking them everywhere, you know, in other people's offices. And she printed one out that said, I'm gay on it and put it on my delete key or something on my keyboard.
Okay.
And didn't think anything of it. One of the IT guys, I don't know how it came about, but was talking about me with Susan goes, and says, I thought David Spark was gay. And she goes, no, why do you think that? He goes, oh, it doesn't say he's gay on his keyboard. On his
delete key. Susan's like, oh, I'm sorry. I misled you.
Right.
You know,
the way people announce these things.
He hasn't been responding like you thought. That's my fault. I apologize.
Yeah. No, we were just playing a game. That was not meant to be taken literally.
Yeah.
It stopped reading my keyboard.
it was a pen test. Who's reading whose keyboards?
You know who was? It was, do you remember Freddie? I can't remember his last name. Freddie Wu. He became a police officer. He was an IT guy.
No, you're thinking of Freddie Wu's buddy, who I know. I know who you're talking about. He became a Oakland PD officer.
No, a San Francisco. Freddie became a San Francisco PD.
Did he really?
He did? I thought he went on to become a sushi chef.
He was a sushi chef.
Maybe he did that.
Maybe he's both guys.
You can. Now,
here's the irony. I was in the Castro district when Freddie Wu saw me. But
was he a sushi chef at the time?
But as a threat, so all of a sudden a cop's yelling at me, "Hey, David!" I'm like, "What?" You know, and it was Freddie.
He's the police officer sushi chef, the blue fin and blue.
That'd be a great combination.
Yeah, I mean, seems like two good skills to have.
The security role,
protect the civilians and make good food. Life.
To protect and serve delicious sushi.
I really sure hope that people who are paying extra for this feel they're getting their money's worth.
Would you stop it? It's
stop making them evaluate whether this is worth it.
David, it's very obvious. It's very, very rewarding.
It's invigorating.
Haven't you ever heard of modeling? It's a sales tactic.
I'm telling you, the time change has got me a little weirded out on this Monday.
Oh, I'm glad you
did. Anyone else wake up at 5 a.m. this morning?
We got 2 minutes till the show time.
Because my daughter was kicking me in the ribcage.
And we should make it 21:30 UTC, or right?
I can say that. I'll say that.
I'll change it.
But
I just changed it.
I can't.
Okay. But that's what I'm asking is if that's correct.
Yeah. It's either 20 or 21. We went through this last time. 20
is what it was.
Yeah.
So we need to make it.
It's not 22. It's 20 or 21.
All right. Because it has been 20 up until today. So now it should be 20.
And that's why it was so confusing to us last year, because we were like, fall back though? But no, it's 21.
So yeah. Did you?
Because we fall back, but they don't.
About eradicating the daylight savings?
Say what about eradicating daylight saving?
They do this every year.
It's a California measure.
They should eradicate standard time and keep daylight savings all the time.
Or just make daylight saving.
One or the other. I don't know what it was. It was one or the other.
Well, but daylight savings is the better one. So that's the one that we want.
State makes a decision on it, which I know Arizona has. Then how are you supposed to keep straight? Like, you know, I'm cool with West Coast is this time, Central and, you know, East Coast, or Mountain for that matter. But to know it state by state, that's going to get a little confusing. I think it needs to be a federal.
Well, Arizona and Hawaii have both not changed.
All right, you guys about ready? You about ready to go?
Yes, we are.
I know that David. We can continue talking about daylight saving time after the show.
Time is very exciting.
These important.
Let's pick this back up in the post.
Sarah, can you read line three, please?
I can.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Thanks to everyone who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/supports.
This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, November 5th, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Roger Chang from somewhere on the fringes of the LA County area.
He's our producer. Joining us today, David Spark from Spark Media Solutions and co-host of the CISO Security Vendor Relationship podcast and series. Welcome back to the show, David. Good to have you, man.
It is great to be back. Great back. Pretty much it's a kind of also the ZDTV Tech TV reunion.
Yeah, right. Well. That's true. We all were Tech TV employees at one time. So it's fun. It was fun. A little fun reminiscing going on in the pre-show. If you're a patron, you can check that out. We're going to talk with David a little bit about some of the cool stories he's got going on in the chief information security officer space. Things like using open source to market instead of spending on ads. But let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Verizon is reorging into three divisions, consumer, media, and business. Now, network IT and corporate functions will be centralized to serve all three new divisions. The consumer group will include consumer wireless, wired, and wholesale service. The business group will handle business wireless and wired, as well as things like enterprise, Internet of Things, telematics, and edge computing. And the media group will include content outlets like Yahoo, TechCrunch, and the Huffington Post, as well as the advertising operations. The oath name for this division will be phased out.
Oh, we hardly knew ye. Barnes & Noble.
By the way, when I read that, I was like, oh, yeah, oath. It was like one more of those. Yeah, I completely forgot they did that. Now there's no point in me remembering that.
Barnes & Noble released a Nook-branded 10.1-inch Android tablet. It has 32 gigabytes of onboard storage and a 1920 by 2000 display with 224 pixels per inch. Goes on sale November 14th for $130. I know some people Nikkei are asking reports, about cheap 10-inch tablets. There you go.
Nikkei reports its sources say Apple told its manufacturing partners not to increase iPhone XR production lines from 45 to 60. Now, you might say, what do those numbers mean? Well, the increase would have added 100,000 iPhone XR units per day. The same sources say that Apple increased orders for iPhone 8 and 8 Plus units by 5 million. Hmm.
And Intel announced its 14-nanometer Xeon Cascade Lake server processors. Current Xeon processors have about 28 cores on a single die. Not about, just exactly 28 cores. The Cascade Lake series will have 48 cores on multiple dies in a single socket, similar to AMD's EPYC line. Two of these Cascade Lake chips could be installed on a motherboard to give you 96 cores total and can accept up to 24 DDR4 RAM modules. That means you can get up to 3 terabytes of RAM, or use Intel's Optane chips and you could have 12 terabytes of system memory. Intel claims Cascade Lake performs 20% better than previous Xeons and 3.4% better than AMD's EPYC for certain tasks. However, AMD is expected to announce new 7-nanometer EPYC chips on Tuesday. All right, let's talk a little bit more about the reviews coming in for the iPad Pro.
The new iPad Pro from Apple, the reviews have been published because embargoes have been lifted Monday. It was a plethora of them. And results somewhat mixed, overall positive, so we'll highlight a few of the main points. The new design and slimmer bezels got pretty high marks across the board, as did the liquid Retina LCD display, which many publications said was, you know, the best iPad display ever. The Apple Pencil 2 mostly applauded, whereas the Washington Post said, quote, $130 Apple Pencil stylus available since the original also joined in the makeover. An artist friend who drew me a quick illustration on the new Pro with an app called Procreate raved about its increased responsiveness. Of the reviews, there were some gripes about Face ID when holding the device, but TechRadar said, quote, the good news is that the iPad Pro 11 does indeed possess a half-decent camera on the back with a 12-megapixel sensor capable of taking more than acceptable low-light photos with rich enough detail when zoomed in. The larger display does make a good viewfinder, and if you're doing something scientific or technical, you'll have some good quality visual data to work with. That was something that, you know, besides the sort of ha-ha, someone's taking a photo with their iPad at a concert type thing, that the cameras were not totally up to snuff with smartphone cameras. So it sounds like if you're going to be using an iPad Pro for this reason, then that's, you know, it's good to have a camera that is actually in the mix with the best of the best.
The big question everybody wants to know is if this really is good as a laptop replacement. And most of these reviews said that the processor was snappy. You could switch back and forth between apps really well. But the big downside is you're still in iOS. You still got a mobile browser. Sometimes when you click on links, it opens an app, which isn't ideal in a PC situation. And a lot of reviewers mentioned that they still needed to go to an actual PC to do certain things, especially in a work environment. I mean, David, what do you make of all these different iPad Pro reviews? Or what do you think of the iPad Pro?
Well... My first response was the comment about the stylus, but I'm also interested in talking about the sort of computer replacement. One is that, you know, this $130 stylus, as I understand, the new one does not work with version one, and the version one stylus does not work with the current one. And just this pattern of, oh, by the way, that thing you bought very recently, it's now obsolete. I get a sense there's this like dominatrix and submissive quality between Apple and its customers, as in you're going to buy this $130 stylus and you're going to love it, whether you like it or not, kind of thing. And they're going to, you know, they're going to be irritated by it, but they're going to say, thank you, we love it regardless, you know, because of sort of the relationship that's been built with Apple. So that was my kind of first take of that.
But that's not unlike a new iPad just having a really cool feature that older iPads don't support. It just happens to be something that's separate from the unit itself.
It's a physical device, a digital device. So it's just my attitude is whatever the cost of this thing is, just add $130. You know, that it shouldn't be a cost without that price, because you can't really use this thing without the stylus. So there's really no point.
What?
In
no, you could totally use a tablet without a stylus. I don't use.
Oh, no, but for this tablets. One in particular, why someone would be getting this one?
You get the keyboard, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah.
But the other thing is about the issue of desktop replacement. I think the problem we keep having this topic, or notebook replacement, any way you want to put it, is we keep having this discussion. I mean, this is not the first time we've had the discussion, is does this thing replace the desktop? It's because we want this device to act like the desktop rather than us changing our work behavior for this smaller device or this more limited device or this device that behaves differently, like opening up apps. And, you know, I'm always surprised. You must know Harry McCracken. Mm-hmm. Yes, you probably had Harry the show before. He actually stopped using a notebook computer a while ago and does almost all of his work on an iPad, which I was kind of stunned by, but he prefers to work like that. So my feeling is a lot of the quote desktop replacement discussion really should be about, do you want to change, rather than does the device have to change for you?
I don't know, man. A Windows 10 or a Chrome OS tablet can take a mouse and I can do a lot of the stuff and not have to change. So why can't the iPad do that too?
David should be on our follow-up to, are we in a post-PC era discussion?
Yeah, right.
On a later show.
Chrome 71 is going to block all ads on sites that consistently show abusive ads. By abusive ads, it's things like fake system messages, automatically redirecting you to another page, trying to take your personal info, like, you know, pretty serious stuff. If an abusive ad is reported, a site will be given 30 days to clean it up before all the ads are blocked. Users of Chrome can also turn the filtering off if they wish. The only downside here, I guess, is, you know, it's Google deciding which sites don't get to show ads in Chrome. And they've got a pretty dominant position with Chrome right now. That doesn't sound like anybody has a problem with that.
No. I would like these ads blocked, and I use Chrome, so good on you.
Yeah, and honestly...
don't you remember the number? I mean, it doesn't happen nearly to the level it happens... You know, it used to happen a lot earlier, but the amount of viruses that would used to come through ads, was horrific.
Yeah.
And that was truly awful before, and it's not nearly to the level now. That it used to be.
Well, and as much as you can criticize Google for having a stranglehold on the advertising market in many ways, I don't think this is one of them. I don't think this is your best argument against Google, because they don't tend to abuse this privilege. They do tend to only really shut down sites that need it. But we'll see. Maybe this will be the exception and we'll get a lot of fake false positives and people complaining.
Let's talk about robots. LG Robotics is developing a smart shopping cart that can follow customers through Korea's largest supermarket chain, which is called E-Mart. The cart will include a barcode scanner and display to show your shopping list, as well as leading you to items that you might be looking for. E-Mart launched a store without cashiers in the Gangnam district of Seoul back in August. No date on when the smart shopping carts might arrive in stores, but it's an interesting idea, isn't it?
I like the comment in the story. They said that it's for people who are too lazy.
Well, too lazy? No.
Some, not all. No, some too lazy, but they also mentioned the elderly too, of course, which totally made sense.
Well, that's
just
you're just taking something, the gadget.
There are lots of reasons that a cart might be, you know, it'd be nice to have both hands free.
You're just taking something the Engadget author came up with. That's not endemic to this, right? Well, I mean,
that amused me regardless that laziness would be a sales point. You know, you can be lazy and go shopping, although shopping is an active thing. Yeah, I mean, once you have multiple children and you're trying to manage them, yes, I think after, you know, one or two kids is manageable shopping. If you're a parent with three plus children and you have to shop, that becomes pretty tough.
Well, and I've not been in an E-Mart myself, but what if a lot of the shopping experience, it has to do with looking at a smartphone to figure out what's going to go on your list, right? So the shopping cart that follows you and doesn't get lost frees you up to do a little bit more of that, if that's actually going to end up into cost savings for you in the long run.
I also didn't get a chance to go in an E-Mart when I've been in Seoul, and I don't know how big their aisles are, but I know that most of the stores that I was in Korea had normal or small aisles. And so having shopped with a good old-fashioned manual cart, the dance you have to do to get past people in aisles seems like it would be much more complicated. You're going to need a lot more machine learning for these e-carts to really understand, like, when to go past the lady that's shopping the chocolate chips.
And, yeah, self-driving shopping carts.
Yeah.
The ethics of it all.
Yeah, when does it really follow you? When does it hit somebody? I don't know. This is more complicated than it looks.
Can I throw up, because you mentioned something, Sarah, I want to throw out a product recommendation. I don't know if you know of this app, an app called Our Groceries. Do you know this app?
No,
yeah,
I use
that app. Yeah.
You're familiar? Do you use it with your wife? Yes?
Well,
let's hope so.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
No.
You share an account. You share a shopping list.
So yes. The idea is you share a shopping list. Right. And the idea is it's great, because what it'll do is if myself or my wife are going out shopping, one of us say, I'm going shopping, add whatever you want to the list, and you add it to our groceries, and it automatically pops up.
Yeah.
And you can just press a button as you're collecting everything at the market. But what's great is you don't have to manually enter everything, because we usually end up buying the same things over and over again. So you can just see on your list, you know, milk, eggs, boom, 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 boom. You add it to your list, and then you can take it off.
The reason I hesitated, we use it hooked up with the Amazon Echo, right? So you can just tell Amazon to put it on your list. It's great. I tell Eileen, just if you have anything to put on the list, just tell the Echo. You don't even have to tell me. You don't even have to open the app. She still doesn't do it. She still just tells me.
Well, I personally don't have any of those listening devices in my home, because I don't like to voluntarily bug my own house. Mm. So I've steered far away from those.
You're unfamiliar with the vetted recording of the Amazon Echo. I get it. As BlizzCon this weekend, Blizzard announced a mobile version of Diablo called Diablo Immortal. Blizzard promises a constantly evolving world and the chance to meet and socialize with other players taking part in events, alongside a classic Diablo-style gameplay set somewhere between Diablo 2 and Diablo 3. If you have no other context, that probably sounds to you like a perfectly normal game announcement, and you wonder why it's here in the show. Well, the trailer has generated hundreds of thousands of dislikes, accusations that Blizzard was resetting comments and like counts, accusations that Blizzard is out of touch with its own gamers. There were some boos at BlizzCon. An ex-Blizzard employee and Diablo 2 developer Mark Kern blamed the backlash on how Blizzard teased and revealed the game, not on the game itself. Kern said the game's fine, but he said Blizzard used to understand that its base was PC gamers, and they led people to believe that they were going to get Diablo 4 for the PC, and when they announced a mobile game that isn't even coming to the PC, people got upset. Really upset.
Well, and were they right to do that? Because it wasn't as if Blizzard was like, here's Diablo 4, the worst PC game ever. It was something completely different.
Right.
I mean, but we're talking about, you know, it's like a two different OS type of situation. So, you know, is the Blizzard community right in their fury here?
Well, this is also sounds like a corporate decision of, we want to force the community onto mobile because we want to build probably more on the mobile. And there's going to be a point of pain. This definitely sounds like that point of pain. And people don't like change. I mean, that's something we've seen repeated many times in history. So people also have short memories. So my feeling is this community that booed it, that are still Diablo fans, will still play this game. The question is, will they evolve from a PC to a tablet / mobile device player? We'll have to wait and see.
I think it's specifically that Blizzard said, we're going to have news about Diablo. Then a couple of days before the show, they tried to play it down and say, it's not going to be the news you guys really are excited about. Don't, you know, it's going to be some news. But they didn't want to undercut their own announcement, so that it was a little bit hard to tell what they meant. And then a bunch of people who wanted like a tease to Diablo 4, right, for the PC, got a mobile game. And I don't even know if it's about expecting people to move platforms as much as it is they made something for fans of one platform, but all the fans of the other platform were the ones in the audience.
Not in a post-PC era, say Diablo fans.
I think Scott Johnson has summarized this with a comic that he posted on Twitter. Diablo purists and the Venn diagram of mobile gamers intersect in a very small area, basically. That's what we're seeing here.
You know, mark this point in time. We're in November 5th. The question is, will Blizzard be successful in making that shift away from PC gaming onto mobile, which appears what they're trying to do here? Well,
they've been extremely successful with Hearthstone on mobile. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they're successful with Diablo Immortal, if the silent majority of mobile people make this a success.
Well, we haven't talked about Amazon in this show yet, so now is the time. Sources tell the Wall Street Journal that Amazon is focusing on Crystal City, Virginia, or Dallas, or New York as locations for its second headquarters, HQ2, as it's being called. Although none of the 20 other cities that were under consideration have actually been totally ruled out as of yet. The Wall Street Journal reported later Monday that Amazon plans to split its second HQ between two cities, which would meet a second and third headquarters. 25,000 employees would work at each location. So this is a big deal. You know, for those of us whose cities are not in consideration, you're like, I don't know, I just pick a city. But for, you know, workforces in the area, it is a big deal for not just adding a lot of jobs, but what would go into any neighborhood that surrounds this.
Well, I thought it was also interesting with the discussion of the real estate developers either developing or holding off sales, you know, in the hopes that if Amazon comes in, then it's going to be, you know, a giant windfall for them. You know, that's a very, very risky gamble, but maybe they've got some inside dirt that we don't have.
I want to give credit to Rich Stroffolino, who in our producer's Slack for the show said that with Amazon splitting the headquarters, whichever city says, no, we won't want it split, you go ahead and take the headquarters, will obviously be the true headquarters. Because it's Solomonic, split the baby. We'll explain
right.
later.
Yeah.
Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. Let's talk about some of the stories that David's been telling at CISOseries.com, that's CISOseries.com, starting with a company that has decided, instead of spending money on traditional marketing, to do their marketing by contributing, like legitimately contributing code to open source projects.
Yeah, so this was the story of a guy by the name of Jeff Williams, who had two security companies, both in the application security space, one called Aspect Security, and that got sold to EY, and then his new company, Contrast Security, which is more a product-based application security company. And when he was with Aspect, that's when the application security market was just starting to grow. And at that time, the consortium OWASP, which was the Open Web Application Security Project, had started. And his organization started, you know, the first thing that they did was they provided the application WebGoat, which is this application that's designed to be essentially abused as you're testing the security of an application.
Like a scapegoat, yeah.
And then they also created something called OWASP 10, which is the sort of top 10 security protocols that you should have in place when you're setting up an application, which is similar to the SANS top 20. They got the idea from that. But again, both of these were things that they did for the open source community. And through that work, and by the way, did a lot of other things that were not successful in the open source community, but those two in particular really got them an enormous amount of attention in the community. So when he went to his new company, he kind of put that thing aside, or that sort of that behavior aside, and started to do traditional marketing, but realized how incredibly difficult that is to do in an incredibly crowded space. And so he decided to go back, and they did do some open source stuff. But then one of the things that they did is they actually released a completely free version of their security product, but just for one application to the community. And as a result, they are able, because people are using the free version, they're able to, you know, bubble them up to their enterprise version, you know, kind of the freemium model. But the free version is not limited. It's just, it's limited in that it only works on one application, but it doesn't limit, you know, by time features, or anything, or have certain features crippled. That has allowed him to sell faster, where in an industry where the sales cycle is so long, and more importantly, just get kudos from the community as a result. And that is one thing that the people in the security industry have a lot of trouble with, is trying to build trust, because that becomes critical in security sales.
Well, and there's so much good research about the security of an open source platform, because you got more eyes on it. Does he talk about getting any benefits from that as well? Just having more users, making it a little more bulletproof?
Well, one of the things he said, he didn't talk necessarily about that, but one of the things that he talked about is that the fact that people who used his products, or like the WebGoat, said that WebGoat was the reason I got into application security. So that, you know, the fact that there's sort of this warmth towards him and his company as a result of that. And then the other issue is just, you know, the fact that they were, you know, their name just got around a lot more. They didn't try to distribute it under their own brand name. They made it a product for the community with their name as just kind of a footnote into the development. But that's in that respect. But it's interesting. I just recorded my most recent episode of the podcast, and the guest there, a guy by the name of Richard Syerson, who is the former CISO of Lending Club, he made a comment about open source. He goes, if you are going to contribute to open source, and I felt this was a very critical comment, is you must commit to open source. Because if you put something out there in open source and either remove it from open source or fail to continue to support it, the community is going to start hating you.
Yeah. No, there's an authenticity to open source that is required. And you really need to be doing it for the right reasons. A positive marketing boost may be a side benefit, and it may be one of the reasons you decide to do it, but it can't be the only one, right?
No, but one of the things Jeff said, he goes, we just want to make it clear to the community that we're passionate about this space.
Yeah, yeah.
And he felt that he would get a good marketing boost. He just noticed that the effort that he was spending in traditional marketing was having less and less effect.
Yeah, there's some really interesting stories that you're telling on CISO Series. And I know not everybody's into the security, the vendor space, but it might translate across different sectors here. What one is an article you did and an interview you did with Alan Alford of Meetel about deciding to try to bridge the gap between vendors and the people who buy their products, who just don't want to hear from them, by what did he do? He like set aside some like office hours, it sounded like.
He set up office hours. Yeah. So his plan was, and by the way, I can't underestimate, or I can't overestimate, I'm sorry, what a big deal this announcement was. He said, I'm going to set aside 2 hours every week to talk with vendors. The fact that a CISO, and he's the CISO of Mitel, the fact that a CISO was proactively saying, I want to talk to vendors, when pretty much the rest of them just say, get away from me, was such a huge deal. It was totally explosive in the marketplace. I mean, it really was a big, big deal. It turns out that he spent even more time, because he actually had a budget planning was coming up. Mm-hmm. And so he actually ended up spending 10 hours a week for a period of 4 weeks. Oh, wow. But what he said, and this is the part that I thought was very, very powerful. Most CISOs, when they're looking for a new product, will go and talk to other CISOs. The problem is you get yourself into a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's just using the kind of the same products and goes, oh yeah, I like that. I like this person, whatever. But at some point, someone new has to break in because there's constantly new solutions coming up. And it either requires a CISO to go out or someone successfully penetrate, someone to go out, do that education, and then come in and tell all the other CISOs. Well, the chances of your timing of finding all that information is very difficult if you're not the CISO who does that. So you got to be the CISO who does that. And that's what Alan wanted to do. And he felt this was critical. Yes, he could have chosen not to do it, talked to his CISO buddies, and built a plan based on what is already out there, what is kind of already known. But he wanted to build even a greater plan, and he wanted it a sort of a greater education. That's why he forced himself to let vendors educate him. And he felt, you know, he's better for it, and his company's better for it as well.
He was the change he wanted to see in CISOs. That's great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on other stories and make it into either here or Daily Tech Headlines. Do it at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. Very active community there. Also, active community on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. All right, let's kick it off with amateur traveler Chris Christensen, who has a follow-up to using credit cards for travel.
This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. First, a heads up, I suggested using a one-time use credit card for buying airline tickets, and some of the smart listeners of your show have told me they have run into issues or known people who run into issues where some airlines, and I've never run into this, ask to see the credit card you book something with, or at least ask for the credit card number. Which seems like it's going to get you into all sorts of troubles when you're buying something for your adult children, as I've been known to do. But apparently it happens in some places. So good to know. Yeah. This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler.
Good follow-up. Thank you, Chris. Let's check out the mailbag. What kind of emails are we getting here, Sarah?
Oh, thanks for asking, Tom. Mike, a.k.a. Gadget Chaser, weighed in on our story last week about tablet sales slowing and why that might be. Mike says, it's my opinion that the reason sales are declining all this time is that the manufacturers don't take the category seriously. They don't produce compelling devices, which leads to declined sales, proving that they don't need to put any more effort into the category. It's a self-licking ice cream cone. That's a good one, Mike. I hadn't heard that one before. Mike goes on to say, for me, I can't find a device that suits my needs. My current tablet is an NVIDIA Shield 2nd Gen. It's getting a little long in the tooth, and although I appreciate NVIDIA continuing to keep up with the latest version of Android on Shield devices, the 2+ years old hardware can't keep up with it. I'd love to get a new tablet. Can't find a decent device to buy. It's impossible to find a quality vanilla Android 7 or 8 inch tablet. Why can't I get one with at least 4 gigs of RAM and running vanilla Oreo or Gasp Pi even? Very frustrating. I suppose we'll have to make a compromise at some point, but I won't be happy about it. Have I mentioned it's frustrating?
Yes, he has. You know, we had that Nook announcement, but that's a 10 inch. As we talked about, tablets really moving towards being PC replacements means this other niche market of people who wanted 7 or 8 inch tablets is kind of drying up. And it's one of those things where your market isn't, there's not enough people like you that is causing people to want to make this. But if you've got recommendations for 7 or 8 inch tablets, send it to us, feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com.
Thanks for all your feedback. And thanks to also David Spark for being on the show with us today. David, so nice to see you. It's been a while since you and I were on a show together anyway. Tell folks where they can keep up with everything that you're up to.
Well, I would, number one, I would just go, if especially if you're in the security space, go to, please go to CISOSeries.com, subscribe to the podcast and subscribe to the newsletter as well. You see it's up there in the upper right-hand corner. And my regular business is SparkMediaSolutions.com. If you're a big tech company interested in learning more about that. And then also I would just say, if you're in Southern California, I'm doing a great fun workshop called Business Networking Pickup Lines. I'll be in San Diego on Wednesday. And Thursday, I will be in Los Angeles. And this event is free. It's all for people who want to learn about using humor in sales. And my workshop will teach you the art of business flirting.
So not flirting for personal reasons, but flirting for business reasons.
Here's the analogy specifically is when we talk about flirting in a romantic sense, it is about, and one definition I heard that I like is about making someone else feel physically attractive. That is sort of romantic flirting. Well, what if you were to take that into a business concept? How do I make you feel professionally attractive?
Very interesting.
And so that's exactly what we teach.
Check that out as well. Thanks to all our patrons who support the show at patreon.com/DTNS. I've been mentioning that we've got some bonuses now. Once a week, I do an editor's desk audio monologue, 15 minutes or so, about how I go about choosing the stories we talk about on the show. That's at the $5 level. And we got this email from Chris who said, I finally increased my contribution starting in December from $2 to $5. A few weeks back, I was in the Starbucks drive-thru, and while I don't buy Starbucks more than a few times a week, I was thinking how I'd be willing to buy you a cup of coffee just to have a chance to talk tech. So now, each month, one of you can buy an extra cup of coffee.
All Might right. It.
Yeah. Be like I'm Chris, folks. Buy us a cup of coffee. Patreon.com/DTNS.
Oh, thanks, Chris. And thanks, everybody who gives us feedback. You make our show better every day. Keep it up. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. And after the time change, at least in parts of the world, 21:30 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Patrick Beja. Talk to you then.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hey,
did I ever?
Show.
Hey.
Hey.
Good show.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you very much for being on, David. That was awesome.
So what is the procedure? Do people chat at this point? Or
Yeah. So I'll start, we'll start figuring out a title for the show. I'll start producing the show and publishing it and everything. And we just kind of chat along. If you want to stick around and chat, you're more than welcome. Don't feel like you have to. We know people are busy, so take off whenever you need to.
This runs for another, that's fine. I mean, I can be doing other stuff too, but I'm happy. No, I'm just sorry. Do people, when they're watching this, do they send questions or comments? Like,
oh yeah, we get people in our Discord and in our IRC chat are chatting along right now. In fact, our titles are selected from submissions in the IRC.
Oh, is there a link to these things on your site or
irc.chatrealm.net is the IRC channel, and showbot.tv or showbot.chatrealm.net shows you all of the titles.
IRC.chatrealm.net.
Yeah. The super special people are in the Discord though, because it's connected to the Patreon. What titles we got, Roger? Throw me some titles. Roger?
Okay.
Roger has passed.
No, don't say that.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
So Roger has passed on answering your question.
Yes. Okay. That's better. We miss you, Roger. Verizon fails to keep its oath. That's not it. We didn't really talk about it that much, but it's a pretty great title.
That is very good. But yeah, it was kind of a throwaway.
Self-licking ice cream cone is a pretty good title.
Self-licking ice cream cone. Yeah, I did like that.
I liked that one. I liked that one a lot, Mike. When I first, I was like, what? Oh, yeah.
Open marketing probably isn't specific enough, but it very cleverly sums up that.
It does,
yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh.
You get an Amazon HQ, and you get an Amazon HQ. The ethics of self-driving carts is another one I like. All right. Self-licking ice cream cone it is.
I love it.
Who
won't
want to
listen? Gadget Chaser.
Yeah. So I put in a secret $50 Patreon level without telling anyone, and Gadget Chaser happened to be in it already, so started a text adventure game with me in the thread on the post related to it. It's been really fun.
That's amazing.
I actually see in here, too, that we have a Your Private Driver column coming to the website from Sakani Wright about you know, ride-hailing services. Looks like he's putting one together. It's been a little bit since we heard from him, so I'm glad to see that. Are we worried about Roger? Is that?
No. I think Roger is not feeling great, and he has kids.
Put those two together, and it's. There we are.
Both of them together, and it's like, are you really going to have a good day?
We already picked the title. Don't worry.
Verizon fails to
We already picked the title. We already picked it.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Roger, how old are your kids now?
Old enough to be a pain in my ass.
Well, they are cute as heck, I will say. You know, we rate dogs. We should do that for children. And Roger.
Oh, that's a great idea. Hornet's nest. Better
idea. The no one could object to that.
That will never end poorly with anyone.
No, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Someone get on that. I don't want to do it. I'm too busy.
Right, but somebody else could pick it up.
Yeah, someone else should do it.
Right. Just you don't even have to credit Sarah.
Roger has very, very cute kids.
No, she does, or he does. They both do.
Well, Roger and his wife.
Yeah.
It equally have produced lovely offspring.
I had fun hanging out with Ellie yesterday. That was a good time.
Oh, yeah. She loves Tom. It's like another guy that isn't me.
How apropos.
Yeah. Literally true.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's like Tom is one of those people who's like, he'll talk to a child as if that child is an adult because that's just the way that Tom is. And I think kids like that. Because kids kind of know, it's like, oh, this is like the cool uncle who's not going to like do like goo goo gaga stuff.
He's a cool uncle that doesn't have to hang around when I have a meltdown.
I saved the goo goo gaga stuff for Roger.
He's just not. He's not going to do the kid stuff. So you kind of.
I don't. Yeah, I don't do that. I, in fact, I probably should do a little more of it because sometimes I think I talk in a manner that doesn't quite get my
message across.
Yes.
Speak, but I don't know. I. Maybe it would have been, I don't really remember if my own parents did that a lot. I'm sure they did, but I used to really like my aunts and uncles that like you could almost tell that they were childless because they would just talk to me like I was a contemporary, but, and I knew that that was like a little weird, but I liked it.
Yeah. My Uncle Harold and Aunt Betty were the same thing.
Yeah.
Your behavior is incongruent with the situation at hand.
Haven't seen Frozen? Great, let's talk.
Except I have seen Frozen.
Yeah, I still haven't. I'd feel pretty left out, actually.
So much Frozen merchandise, dolls. Those, what do they call those for kids' rooms? They're like decals that you just stick on the wall. They're like stickers, but they come off.
It's a decal.
So many of those. You put them up and then she tore them back down. What'd you get with kids? Ah, well, pay off, I think. When there's no more Social Security or whatever.
Oh, they're going to take care of you. We've already talked about this. You've done good, Roger.
Hopefully.
Thinking ahead.
I got to make sure she has the skills to earn a living in the new economy.
Yeah, just stay on her good side.
Should you put her on the track to become a CISO at this point? Is it
possible.
Too early?
Sure. From seesaw to CISO. My climb for the playground to the corporate ladder.
I like it. You already have a bio title for it. That's good.
Freddie is a cop. That's so weird.
That's Freddie Wu? Yeah.
Yeah. Being a cop. I used to bug him to bring me like, hey, can I get it? Can I bum a network hub off you so I can plug all these things I need to review for the show?
Which makes it surprising that he turned into a police officer.
Like, well, it's just kind of weird, you know?
I I don't, I mean, I remember Freddie Wu. I don't think it's that weird that he is in law enforcement.
It wasn't weird, but I was just shocked that, first of all, most often police officers don't talk to me, thankfully, because thankfully I haven't done anything horrifically wrong, but he was just saying hello. And so it just was a kind of more of a shock.
Wait, I like that you qualified it as horrifically wrong, which implies that you do things that are wrong. I mean, but not horrifically. Nothing terribly illegal.
It's interesting because in many ways, the whole ZDTV tech TV experience was like another 6 years of college for me, except I pulled the paycheck.
Yeah, it was a learning experience.
Well, it's a learning experience. A lot of the people we worked with, we went to school with. So it, you know, there's a weird constancy to it that would have been different if it was just a job where I didn't know anyone.
I get that.
We got a lot of great emails from folks who use the Jupyter open source platform that we mentioned last week. And we were almost going to read one on a show last week, but I'm glad we held off because we got a lot more. I was surprised just how many data scientists in the audience responded, like, oh yeah, I use it. So I intend tomorrow to kind of go through and pick some of the highlights from the ones we got. But I was really excited about that.
I read one on Friday.
Oh, you did? Okay.
One, but we had enough time.
So
for one.
Justin read one of them on Friday.
Yes.
So that was probably the one that we didn't read earlier in the week. Well, I'll look at that one and then I'll make sure I pull from the other ones that we got because I would like to acknowledge that as well. It's pretty great.
Well, he had some really good points. It's always good to get that kind of firsthand take
from people who actually use this stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one thing to look at the. I can tell when something is legitimate to be excited about. Like I can sort of read the tea leaves because of which outlets write about it and what kinds of reporters write about it and what they say about it. But it's sometimes hard to then turn that into a convincing argument to somebody who doesn't know about it. So it's good to get it from people like, no, I actually am a data scientist, professional data scientist. I use Jupyter and here's why it's great.
Best thing since Diablo showed up on mobile.
I'm not surprised, but I wonder, and this goes back to the point David made in the show, how well it's going to do. I think it's going to do fine.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be fine. Doubts that it'll be a commercial success. What's interesting is that for me, it's more telling of at least the kind of psychological divide between PC gaming and everything else.
Well, what I was going to say is I don't think it's a representative sample of people. I don't think there's that many people who even have that psychological divide, like, really seriously. I think it's just a number of very loud people who are very angry, and I won't take away their anger or undermine it.
500 loud people. That's a big group.
How many?
They claimed, according to the story, they claimed that there were like 500,000 dislikes.
Yeah. Well,
but they claim
that's
that
not a scientific not a scientific collection of numbers. Also, Blizzard reaches billions of people, so even then, it's like, and how many of those people are going along for the ride to feel good about joining the crew and clicking dislike, and then we'll go on to download that mobile game and play it and enjoy it.
I would say all 500,000.
I don't know if it'd be that, but yeah, there'll be a lot.
I will download the mobile game, play it, and enjoy it, and then dislike the trailer.
Wait, you're going to wait to dislike the trailer until after you've played the game? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. You're iconoclast, you.
I am.
I'll tell you, I watched some of that BlizzCon, and I felt like my parents felt when they watched me watching MTV going like, what are those stupid kids doing? That's how I was watching BlizzCon. I'm like, I don't get what they're so excited about because I'm not part of this community,
right?
But they keep referencing the characters in all these games and the crowd went nuts.
Yeah,
completely nuts.
I mean, I have played World of Warcraft, I've played Hearthstone, I've been to many BlizzCons, and because I've only played the tiniest bit of Overwatch, and that was a couple of years ago, when they start talking about Overwatch, I'm right there with you, David. I'm like, I think I know who that is, I know a couple of characters are, but I haven't kept up. And it's a whole different world.
Do you have a game of choice?
No, not really. I enjoy playing games, but I don't play them often enough. And I used to feel bad. Like I literally would feel bad. Like, oh, I really need to play more Hearthstone. I really need to.
What do you think you're disappointing at
that
point?
I really need to play more Destiny. But I just, you know, I never stick with anything for very long. I don't know what it is.
It's a time commitment. You need to clear out your calendar.
My point is, usually people are saying, I really got to stop playing this game because it's too good and I don't have time for it. It's not about whether you have the time. It's just about whether you make the time for it.
There's very few games that suck me in. Like Mass Effect always sucks me in. So whenever the latest one, Andromeda, came out, I waited a year to play it because I knew it would be a time sink, and I was right. I like every free moment I had, I would play that game. And I was like, I can't do this. But
so how much gaming do you do now that you're a parent?
Maybe squeeze in like 15 hours a month at most. It's really hard to play.
No, the only game, I'm very much a fan of the racing games. Like I'm a very big fan of Forza games, but that's pretty much it. I kind of stop at the Forza racing games.
I like 3D platformers. So anything like Tomb Raider, Prince of Persia, or anything with a really deep storyline. So like any of the BioWare RPGs. So any of the Mass Effect, Dragon. What's the one? What's the Dragon? Not Dragon Quest. It's,
Are you a completist? Do you need to finish the game?
Yes.
No.
No. I will be only a completist if there's a compelling enough storyline to it that I need to see the end. So if it's like,
and
even
you won't
with
just
like
go online and find the video.
So that's what I do for a game I don't want to play through. I will go to YouTube and I will watch the cutscenes. It's like, all right, done.
Hey everybody watching video, thanks for watching. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're listening to the audio though, stick around, there's more to come.
Dragon Age.
I will, now that we're no longer on video and you can't look at my face and see how embarrassed I am, the only game that I've consistently played for the past year is Pocket Camp, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp.
I mean, what is that?
It's like a mobile game that you can pick up and play for like 5 minutes. And it's got, you know, all the Animal Crossing Nintendo characters in it. So
I play dots when I'm on a plane.
Games have come a long way, especially the ones where they, like any of the Naughty Dog games, which is why I sold my PS3, is because I can't keep playing these games. All the Uncharted's, I played The Last of Us. I mean, they're really well done. The voice acting, the plot lines, the plotting, like it's pretty spot on. I mean, I can see why Sony dumps millions of dollars into that company. It's just shows. But Japanese RPGs, I generally stay away from because they're all about grinding your way through, and I'm not really big into that anymore.
But it, like you said, Roger, it is a time commitment.
And my time is committed to my kids, my appetite to eat.
Your appetites.
My time is also committed to eating.
Like, finding time to eat with kids running around sometimes is kind of a pain in the ass.
I'm sorry, how old are your kids?
One's 3 years, 10 months. The other one is 4 months.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize you had a 4 month. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, I didn't mean to leave her out of the story about the restaurant, but she really didn't do much.
Nah.
I mean, that's not a criticism. I'm just, you know.
No,
oh, the 4 month
old?
Yeah, she didn't contribute a lot.
She was real cute. You know,
she was cute.
Cute little baby.
She was just kind of one of those, you know, okay, you're cute.
That's what makes them so awesome at that age.
But I'll be honest, Ellie was way more entertaining.
They're also, at that age, they're so little that even if they're like wailing, they have such a tiny little cry. You know, I'm sure as a parent, you're like, well, it's pretty annoying, Zara. But it's like when you hear a little baby of that size crying, you're kind of like, oh. But, you know, when they're two and they're screaming, you're like, ow, that actually hurts my ears. Please stop
doing
that.
Three in 10 months.
Or three, right. Yeah, it just gets worse from there.
Or when they're 45 and your manager and they're screaming.
Yeah. No, it's
and you're like, you know what? This was a mistake.
Oh.
Parenthood is a very eye-opening experience.
I bet it is.
But, well, folks, you know, all things considered, it's weird. Once you get into a groove, it's not too bad. But what you do notice is your social life starts to shift to a lot of kid-oriented things. You hang out with other people who have kids.
Absolutely.
You go to events that have kid-related things, that like the fair.
Well, I mean, and this is, again, not the same, but because I don't have kids, you know, I use the dog as sort of like a kid, like a kid light. But it's like, I have considered posting something on Craigslist or Nextdoor or both or whatever, like looking for a walking partner who also has a dog. Because it's like, Otis and I can walk, which we do. We can go to the dog park, which is the whole thing. But it's like, it would kind of be nice to walk along with maybe somebody else where he could kind of have a dog friend.
Yeah, no,
totally. I cannot even imagine thinking this just a few months ago, doing that. And but now, like, I'm like, that might be kind of fun.
Like, don't you consider things like, oh, where are you going to go on vacation? Thinking like, oh, where can I bring Otis? Is there somewhere I can also bring my dog along?
Yeah. Yes.
And so you start, your calculus shifts, because then suddenly you're like sorting by different criteria.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the last time I went up to see my mom and some friends back up north, I drove. I never drive. I hate that drive. But I was like, well, I can bring Otis. You know, like, we're not going to get on a plane. That's way too hard. You know, and I didn't want to board him for 4 days. So it's like, all right, we're taking a road trip. That's what we do now.
Yeah, I don't even trust airlines with animal. I mean, like, you know, putting your pet. This.
No, wouldn't do it. Mm-mm. We either buy first class seats or we're driving.
Yeah, look,
we're taking a boat.
Hello.
This is my wife, Joy. This.
Hi, hello, Joy.
Closer.
Hi, Joy.
Hi.
That's... How's it going?
No, the show's off. So that's Tom.
Well, we're still recording audio, so
that's fine. We're just recording audio, but that's Tom. That's Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
And the other person is Roger. Roger, speak up.
Hi, Roger. There's two of me, one with a red shirt and one with a blue shirt.
All of them at ZDTV, Tech TV. And we finished doing the podcast. Nice. Everyone well. Done. Nobody got hurt.
No, not as far as we know.
Yeah, not yet.
In fact, let's wrap up our recording and say thanks to everybody for supporting us on Patreon. Stick with us. Maybe tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about more about what we learned at PatreCon on Good Day Internet. And otherwise, have a good day.
Have a good
day, Internet.